This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome back to the Bodie Bros. We're super excited because today we are doing another video review. And this week's is Brené Brown, Life Advice on Emotions Will Leave You Speechless. I'm John with the Joy.
I'm Phoenix Ray. I don't think we're going to be speechless.
It didn't leave me speechless.
It didn't leave me speechless at all.
And again, we're not here to bash a video. We're not here to, I want to say we're not here to celebrate.
We're here to keep it real.
I like that. We're here to keep it real. And what we do is, I don't even know if we can call it a review anymore. I feel like this is kind of like our Oracle card. I'm going to grab the Barry White mic here. I feel like it's like we do our Oracle card stream of conscious conversations. We pull a card and then we let the card dictate the flow of where we take our little discussion. And same with this video. Like you pulled a video out of a sea of a zillion and we're just going to let the video take us on a little ride. Should you go and seek out this video? It's only 10 minutes. Of course. I mean, we're doing a whole show on it. So go watch the video. It's only 10 minutes of your time. Maybe it affects you in a way that it didn't affect us. And it's a gentle reminder because they always are gentle reminders of something. And I think there's plenty of that here. But speechless, Ray, it didn't leave you speechless though.
No, man. This one was kind of a mixed bag for me. There were some things I liked and there were some things I disagreed with.
Oh, you actually...
I could see her point of view of it.
Okay.
You know, I could see her point of view. It's just that some things in my experience, I experienced differently.
I'm really interested to hear this because it didn't.
For example.
Yes. Let's example it up.
She said, we should not learn how to recognize emotion in ourselves. Well, we should have learned how to recognize emotion in ourselves and others. That's what she believed. And she says it's not possible to recognize emotion in other people. And then, you know, before that, she gave this list of, you know, somebody going through something and there could be somebody's crying. And she gave a list of, you know,
single
50
mom,
different,
right, blah, blah, blah. Everything, yeah, not, you know, culturally.
50 different things that it could be.
Right.
You know, and he says, you know, and she said that, you know, I can't sit there and just assume how she feels. And, it's, you know, out of this sea of 50 different things. However, there is a common sense factor to this that you can tell this person is suffering, right? You can tell this person is in pain. Maybe you can't narrow it down to one of these 50 things, but you can tell that this is somebody that may need to talk to somebody, that may need some compassion, right, to go to. And I could feel that what she said about this, that you can't read someone's emotion, as an excuse for some people to see that is to be cold to somebody and to maybe even be kind of selfish in your actions and be, well, I don't know how this person reacts. I don't know. So I'm just going to do whatever I do and have this person react a certain way. Well, I don't know. I'm not supposed to be able to read someone's emotion. So I'm going to act however I want and say whatever I want.
You don't feel like she gave a solution by way of simply saying, just be there for that?
Yeah.
Person?
I mean, I was going to go to that. Okay, yeah. Okay, by okay, that. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. However, it was the reason why I'm saying this is because I went through this in a relationship.
Okay.
Where I was being mistreated and abused. And I was visibly upset, hurt. I'd be crying. And the person would just be like, well, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know how he feels. I don't know how you feel. So I'm just going to continue to say whatever's hurtful things to you.
Mm.
Now, mind you, should I maybe express my feelings differently, how I was feeling? Probably. So I could probably say, but it was hard for me at the time. Sure. It was hard for me to speak up. And when I'm depressed, when I'm hurt, sometimes this is hardest. Convey that to somebody who is inflicting pain upon you, that you're hurt, that I'm being hurt, especially somebody that I love is doing this to me.
Right.
So she would use that excuse. She would use the excuse that she doesn't know how I feel and use that as a thing to like, well, then I could just say whatever I want to you. You know, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know. So that leaves me open to say whatever I think is hurtful for you to hurtful to me, well, hurtful to me. So that's why, and I could see somebody like that, somebody who's not seeing that and being like using that as a justification. being like, well, I don't know someone's emotions. I can't read someone's emotions. So I'm going to continue to act, you know, in a way that just serves me. In a way of that. So that's kind of what I didn't really like that. However, I do get what she's saying, though, is that we shouldn't be making assumptions about how someone feels and jumping to conclusions and being like, okay, well, you know, maybe this person's angry, but really that person's not angry. So we should approach it and, you know, approach it openly and inquisitively and see how that person is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But I was just saying that the way it came across to me, I just didn't really like it. That's all.
Hmm. This might be the first time where we experienced a video in a wildly different perspective, because I thought it was pretty straightforward and simple. It was, I felt the message was, leave all of your stuff at the door, and here's the solution. If someone, friend, family, romantic partner, whatever, is hurting, or there's some type of emotion going on and you're concerned, or they want connection, or you want to connect with them to understand, or to be there in comfort, whatever the case may be, leave everything at the door and simply ask that person, what's going on? What is the story connected to this visible pain, suffering? Could be joy too. It doesn't always have to be something that's hard or in the shadow, right? And and then the biggest key to it all was believe them, right? And so I think I understand where you're coming from. I feel like where you're coming from is the beginning of the video where she says, not in her words, but these are in my words, surmised, we have a crisis here. Where years ago, I don't know how many years ago, they interviewed 7,000 people and they asked these people to give a list of emotions that they recognize in themselves when they're feeling it, like ones that you can put a name to. And the average person out of 7,000 people, folks, could only come up with 3: mad, sad, happy.
Right.
So what she explains in the beginning of the video is if we don't, as a society, as a world, have the vocabulary expansive enough to encapsulate the entire range of human emotions and our experiences, we have a little disconnection problem here. And I think that's what you experienced. You experienced someone that really was not, and this is the, you know, we love this term, you experienced someone that wasn't very self-aware.
No, not at all.
And we love sprinkling that shit on everything, folks. Loving self-awareness. That's what we do at the Bodhi Bros. And thereby it presented as a very toxic and abusive relationship, because the things in her that she couldn't connect with were prevalent in you. You were the reflection. You were the mirror for her. And the things that she denied, disowned, suppressed, whatever, were raging in you. And she was terrified of that. And also then was doing everything she could to push it away, or to devalue or demoralize or whatchamacallit, unvalidate your experience, gaslight you, whatever the case may be, and hurt you, really, and attack it, make it go away because it didn't feel good for her. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. She, you know, would do that stuff and just, you know, use me sort of as, you know, an emotional punching bag, you know, to work out the stuff that she had. Yeah. But, you know, what I was saying too is that you know, she would just say like she couldn't recognize that I was any kind of pain because of her actions and words.
Right.
And someone like that I could see watching that video and being like, see, and giving that validation to be that way, to be neglectful towards other people and to continue to be toxic in their actions and words, saying, look, you know, even Brene Brown says, I shouldn't try to read other people's emotions.
Right. But you don't feel like she could give your potential ex-partner the key to everything you needed. If you're, let's say she watched this video and she's like, wait a minute, all Brene's telling me to do for Ray is just ask him to tell me a story?
Yeah.
So if she took that route, right?
Right.
Would
right.
in that remembering what you went through and everything, if this person who you probably have a hard time feeling and connecting with could actually do that for you, but let's imagine that she could do that for you. If she said, "Hey, Ray, like, what's going on for you?" versus all the things that she was projecting on you and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that definitely would have helped. Absolutely, yeah.
A. B, what if she said, and you felt, because this is what I'm trying to pull away from the video. What if she said, and you truly felt, I believe you, and that sounds horrible. How can I show up for you? What can I do to support you? Would that have blown you away?
I'd be in shock.
That's what I think. And maybe it didn't come across clearly in your instance, and maybe in many others, and that was your worry that sees this video and they pick the things that they go, okay, Brené said, like you said, versus listen, and this happens, listening to the entire message and getting to the, you know, that marrow of it and like, okay, this is where the rich stuff is right here.
Yeah. Like I said, I get where she was kind of coming from. You don't want to make assumptions and judgments and conclusions about how someone feels and then project.
Oh no. Ray has temporarily left the building, i.e. technical difficulties. We'll pause.
Can you hear me?
Yep, he's back now. It was just a few seconds. We got you.
All right. So, I get the fact that you don't want to jump to conclusions about how somebody feels and then just make an assumption and then just go right in and just say, oh, I know this is how you're feeling. And, you know, how she says, too, is you can't put yourself in someone's shoes.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't know what that person's life path is completely different from you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be able to understand if, you know, a pregnant woman who already has three kids working, you know, a part-time job is going through. It's just there's no way for me to walk in those shoes and of that.
Right.
So the best thing that I could do is sit there, simply ask and hold space and validate that's how they feel.
I think the other part of the message that I got too was I didn't feel like it was this cold stiff arm of I've got my own shit going on, or you know, Brené said don't worry about your stuff. I think it was what I was taking out of it was we have so much to do for ourselves. And we are so far behind typically in that category of filling up our own cups and understanding ourselves that if we were to just focus more on that versus the external, even in situations where someone requires, especially in situations that require our attention from another human being, and we just allow this other person or these other people that we're encountering to have their experience and not inject our own A, unsolicited advice, B, life experience. Oh yeah, this just happened to Reeve recently. A lot of us shift to that real quick to go, okay, I relate. This happened to me at work too. I do it. I catch myself all the time. Yeah. Like, stop. That's not in the grand equation of human evolution. I think we're learning, as Brené states too, like she's been chasing this thing, studying this thing, trying to build a framework for a better understanding of human connection for 22 years. And she even admits that, I think it was a book, two different books that she released, or two different courses, whatever it may be. I think it's a book. Like, when I released this, I was like, I finally got it. I was wrong. She goes, and then years later, I released this called blah, 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 whatever it was. And she goes, and I knew that that was the answer. And it was not. And here she is, maybe third time's a charm, right? She's like, now I think we've got it. And 3 years from now, she might be like, we were close. We were missing a few things, right? We watched the Bodie Bros podcast and we listened to Phoenix Ray and we realized we were missing one other thing, right?
Well, the one thing too, she says about like, why do we feel we need to like, you know, step and walk in other people's shoes? I think she was approaching it. I think maybe she was initially approaching it too literal. To me, walking in someone's shoes, it just means you take the consideration of other people. You know, you consider other people's well-being and in lives with your own actions. You know, like example, like if you're doing something and you're inviting somebody, like, hey, let's go I don't know, something with money. Let's say something, let's go to this, you know, let's plan this like awesome night out, and it's going to be, you know, $500 a person or something expensive. If you're kind of just thinking that, you're not taking, you may not be taking someone else's life in consideration. Maybe somebody that you invited is, you know, going through some financial troubles or has some things coming up.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what it means by putting yourself in someone's shoes, is just take other people's into consideration when you do with your actions and your words. I don't think it meant, and I don't think it ever really meant literal, like,
right,
literally walk in their shoes, and you have to be able to relate to every experience that they have, because that's kind of, it's kind of impossible anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to be careful with our words and semantics and stuff, because they do affect us all in different ways at different times and in different contexts. And, you know, I kept hearing that some folks in the spiritual community, teachers, students, et cetera, have been using that phrase to truly love someone is to take all of them as a part of you. And as they were talking about the walking in other people's shoes, that's what I kept hearing. And maybe that was the intention that she had behind, or maybe the intention that we should consider as, you know, watching this video or any discussions of the like, that, and that's where the dots were connecting for me as I'm watching this. I'm like, okay. I really resonated with the believe part. And if we believe someone's story genuinely, right? Ray, you share something with me and I'm like, I believe that. I feel that. Mm-hmm. And you both feel and believe that. I do believe and feel that. We have a connection, because you're like, right. He sees me, right? And I think that's love. I think, well, that's part of love, right? I've taken everything that you've given me and I've put it into my heart, and I'm now believing, feeling it. And I think this is where we have the opportunity to walk in someone else's shoes, because you've taken me on a walk with your very intimate story. You've been vulnerable, you've been authentic, and you've impressed upon me a part of you that I can now feel, because I came to the table genuinely open, without any intention or agenda to change your pain, to make you feel better, and it doesn't have to be pain, remember, it could be joy. Alter your experience, inject my own past experiences into your equation, and like, oh, yeah, we're brothers, because I've gone through this too. Now, if you ask me, hey, has anything like this ever happened to you? Then that's my wide open door, the French door, library of experiences. But I think this, that's why maybe it wasn't so much the video for me, but like maybe past teachings and everything, maybe that I'm presently going through, where it just, it breathed this sense of hope and clarity into my being that, man, as humans, we might be getting closer to something if we can understand the simplicity of what the message is here. And I think I'm going to say it again and again. Ask, there's no book needed here. It's just a few sentences. Ask those that you love, that are trying to connect with you, that need you, that are reaching out, to tell their story, and then believe them. And if you don't believe them, you know, that's up to you too.
And right. Then, I think believe means you believe that's their reality for them, and you acknowledge that's their reality, because you don't want to be like, you know, you don't want to be like, yeah, but that was, you know, inject your own point of view, use an agenda. But you do recognize that's their reality, and that's how they really feel, and that's genuine for them. Yeah. It may not be genuine for you. You know, for example, you know, you may go to a dinner party with somebody, and you may come back, and at the end of the, you know, end of the party, you might be like, wow, wasn't that a good evening? That was a good time. And the other person who went through the same dinner party with you, went through the same experiences, could be like, oh my God, I'm so glad that's over, and be in tears and just be like, they were so rude. I couldn't believe that and how fake they were. And you just went to the same party together. Now, but you have to believe that's their reality of what they're saying, and acknowledge that, and not try to be like, well, hey, you know what? For me, I thought everything was fine. There, you know, you can't do that. You have to be open, and you have to allow them to have that and to be seen, to be heard, and to be loved. And sometimes that could be, you know, that's sometimes that's a challenge. Because sometimes you may think that, like, you may go through that and be like, man, those people weren't, like, laughing at you. You may actually know that to be true, but you have to recognize, too, that person may be carrying different trauma than you.
Absolutely.
So they're experiencing that reality through that portal of their trauma of maybe feeling worthless or feeling vulnerable, which you're not. And because maybe you're more comfortable with those people. Maybe you've known those people your whole life.
Right.
And that other person doesn't. And you know, and you would be like, yeah, I know they're not mean people. I know they didn't mean whatever how that is, but I can't say that because that's going to be invalidating to that person. And I just have to hold space for that. And sometimes that's a challenge for us is to believe that. Is sure. To sit there and not want to say something like, no, you're wrong, that they were fine, they didn't mean to anything right. by that.
And even if we know we come from similar trauma as this person because we have history with this person, whatever, that's the key word, because we're talking about words, right? Similar yeah. does not mean same, right? And where is that person on their path of their healing journey, as opposed to where you are in regard to this particular trauma in which this present situation is being viewed out of a lens? Like, you might be a little further along in your path and your healing than them and have a little more understanding or patience or whatever, A, B through Z squared, right? So I think there's that. I also think there's a very important part that comes up in this video that helps us to comprehend maybe why we are where we're at and maybe why you and countless others have experienced things in relationships that didn't feel good and that were not good. And that's because a lot of us come from this program where, and these are her words, emotions are not shared and discussed. They're exploited.
Right.
And vulnerability is not mutual and reciprocal. It's leveraged.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about control, which this is, and manipulation, right? Versus true connection. And she uses an example of, you know, her kid comes home from school and says, I forget what it was, like, I got
detention. She talked during a lecture.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was talking during a lecture and I got detention or something like that. And she's like, you know, instead of saying, oh, tell me about this, like, what, tell me the story, like, what actually happened? How did it make you feel? And why were you talking? Versus, boom, control situation. I want you to go to your room, write an email to that teacher apologizing right now. Whoa, those are two wildly different human experiences, especially for a child, right?
Right.
You've instantly ripped the carpet out from your child, disempowered them. You don't believe, the trust is getting, so much trauma happened in that one exchange versus how it could have fluidly and lovingly went with that first presentation that she offered. Right. Yeah. Now she may have said, hey, after that discussion, it might be a good time now to go to your room and compose an email to your teacher. And that still might have been the end result of what happened after.
But the way you got there was different.
Way different. Wildly different. So I don't know.
I think it comes down to creating a safe space to be vulnerable with yourself and that way to allow other people. That's really what it is. Because when you're not coming with an agenda or trying to control, that person feels, okay, this person's not pushing against me. This person's not trying to convince me. This person isn't interjecting with their own seemingly relatable experiences, which may or may not be.
Right.
And you just, you feel that safe to be yourself and to open up and allow all that stuff to kind of come out and flow and be seen. And that brings that shared loving awareness, because not only you're bringing loving awareness by feeling safe and letting come out, you feel that loving, safe awareness from someone else too. So it's getting double teamed on both ends.
Yeah.
So
I'm so guilty, especially in my previous relationship. My latest one had a very courageous partner that was very bold in sharing her emotions and being raw and authentic. And she felt at times safe enough with me to do that. And I failed her miserably in those experiences because her emotions were so strong, so terrifying to me, because I wasn't at a comfortable place in myself to deal with them, that I tried to change her. I tried to make her feel better and bounce out of her, and just totally invalidated her experience, get all this stuff that I thought I was helping, because she was going through so much pain, right? And but naturally in those moments, it was so intense that I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You see what I'm doing too? Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm pushing, for those of you listening and not watching, I'm pushing away from the mic, from the camera right now. That's what I was doing to her, by slowing her down, by, because I was uncomfortable. All I needed to do in those instances, and this is hindsight, right? In the rearview mirror, right?
Yeah.
And I'll send, and I do often, I'll send her messages and stuff like, hey, I wasn't there for you. Or, hey, I wish I could have been there better. I've learned now. Thank you for being patient and always trying to show and express to me what you needed. And I'm sorry in those moments that I didn't know how. But the long story short, folks, is, because we have 10 minutes left here, getting Barry White on the microphone again, is that all she needed, and she'll tell me to this day, was for me to ask her how she was feeling and allow lovingly for that expression to come out. I didn't have to have solutions for her. I didn't have to have anything but to just feel with her, allow her to tell the story and allow it to affect me in whatever way it was going to affect me, and just feel into it with her and be there with her. That's it. That's the golden sauce, folks.
I didn't know that either. I mean, I was guilty of that too. I didn't know better at the time. My way of trying, somebody would express how they felt, and was to try to fix it, come up with solutions. And I think that a lot of us do that because we think that's, you know, we think we're trying. I think our intention is good, but it's not.
Sad is not broken. It's just sad.
there's one last thing I want to get to. Yes. Was the last part that it kind of bothered me too.
are you talking about, before you start, are you talking about the weird transition, how at 7 minutes and 30 seconds in, they shifted the whole video to worry?
Yeah, that was kind of weird too. That was kind of awkward.
But, I don't understand that.
I was going to go with the last part.
Okay, what was the last
part? Now, there's part of this I agree with. It's one of those things where I agree with it, but I don't totally agree with it. Don't try to forge a connection with others or build a culture of connection until you are fully connected and know yourself. Now, I agree on some points, because if you're not fully healed, you're going to be laying a trip on other people. You're going to be projecting. You're going to be maybe possibly manipulative to try to get your needs met. However,
I know where you're headed.
I don't think that healing happens in a vacuum. I don't think that, for me, a lot of that stuff coming to the surface in the healing was through relationship.
Right. Like we can't have any friends, family, or romantic connections until we're fully healed, which means when we're 99 years old on our deathbed and we finally get it, then we'll be like, I'm ready for friends and to get married. Oh, like you're never fully healed, right? Like,
right.
And you need those relationships. And like, yeah, I don't know. I missed that part. I'm glad you found that, but I also feel like, man, we got on two different rides here, and you saw, like, we got on the Dueling Dragons at Universal Studios, and yours went this way, mine went this way, and I saw a different part of the park during my ride, which is neat.
I saw all that same stuff you did. I do see that same stuff. I do recognize the good parts of this.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna keep it real. I'm gonna say the parts that I didn't like. You know,
sure.
To me, it was a very uneven video.
Sure.
It was very uneven.
Let's address the worry part, because I thought there was some value there.
And
at the beginning, I said this was not going to be a video review. This feels like it turned into a video review, which is fine, because that's where our discussion went. Again, not the aim of why we do these, but hey, que sera, sera, right? I mean, I think that's the right phrase here. So whatever will be, will be. This is where it went. The worry part was, as someone that's a warrior, this hit home for me. And this could be a tool that some of you put in your bat person's belt, Batman, Batwoman, Batperson. Is this line of thought helping or hurting me? So something's worrying you hardcore. You're perseverating on the theme of fill in the blank. And maybe just stop for a moment and ask, is this line of thought helping or hurting? Explore that question till its end. Do I have enough data to freak out? Right? And you might. And if you do, the third question is, will it be helpful to freak out? So a lot of times, do I have enough data to freak out is usually a no. That answer.
Usually no.
But if you do have enough, say it's, you know, maybe it's a health concern or whatever, and you have a validated, boom, this is wrong. Now, is the answer, you know, that's best going to serve you to freak out? Probably not. If you freak out, is it okay? Absolutely. But in this perpetual cycle of worry, what's going to be a healthy, more sustainable, move forward solution for you? And that's to go through these questions and realize, okay, maybe there's a different path that I can allow my heart, mind, body, and soul to explore so that we can open up some different doors. So I liked that.
Yeah, I mean, you want to look at the information, because most of the things that we worry about, 99% of them don't actually happen.
Yeah.
But that's easier said than done a lot of times, because our minds will always go to the worst case scenario, because in a way to try to protect ourselves. It's the ego. You got to recognize this is the function of the ego trying to protect you and saying, well, you know, this could happen. This, you know, you could get fired from your job if this happens, or you could, you know, suffer some sort of financial setback if this goes wrong this way. And yeah, it could happen. Maybe, you know, you got to really look at it objectively and see, like, what's the possibility, what's the probability of that really happening, and have faith in yourself too. Maybe you can kind of look back at some of your past experiences and say, like, yeah, you know what, I was worried about all this other stuff, and all that other stuff turned out to be fine. I made it. And, you know, and like she says, is freaking out going to help you? Well, freaking out never helps you. Even if you know there's a slight chance for a worst case scenario to happen, it's a lot less likely to happen if you're calm, cool, and collected and sure. Under control.
Sure. And what kind of seeds can we plant into the 5D portion of this equation that might blossom and bear fruits and flowers in the 3D? Should we put our energy into that? So instead, you know, allow yourself to go through the worry, allow yourself to go through the fear, the pain, and all of that. But then ask yourself, what other seeds can I plant that may come back and provide me with a different experience that might be a lot more pleasant, healing, loving, et cetera, et cetera. Now we got about 3 minutes left. And the only thing left I had on my list, Ray, was she closed the worry part with saying, we will do almost anything not to feel pain, including right. Causing other people pain. And, you know, we talked about that with our previous relationships, big time. And again, a million apologies to all of my previous partners, friends, family, and others that I was unable to show up for you in those in the best possible way to help you and to be loving in those moments. We are all learning together, and I hope we continue to do so. And she says, it's so much easier to hurt. This is so true, than to feel. And there's that word, feel. Hurt, whether it's right. Physical or emotional pain, spiritual pain, allowing yourself to feel the hurt. It's tough. There's so much treasure buried in that pain. There is a gift waiting for you at the end of that darkness. So if you explore that tunnel and just keep asking and connecting with that pain in yourself and in turn in others, but we can only truly do it for others, with others, in others, if, like she said, we're able to be self-aware enough to allow ourselves to do that for ourselves. Now, you don't have to be at the end of the rainbow of complete healing and nonsensical paradigm of complete enlightened human being.
Right. I just want to say one last thing.
Yes, please.
One last thing before we close. I thought the best part of this video was what she says. We cannot be more connected to other people than we are to ourselves.
There we go.
And that's something to always remember and take it with us into any kind of relationship.
Let's go out on that. I love that.
All right.
So from our hearts to yours, get out there, get under the sun, get under a pyramid, get under a pyramid? Lean up against the side of a pyramid. yeah. Raise it up. Get under the one you love or ones you love, whatever your situation may be. And we love you. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for being a Bodhi Bro supporter. And leave us a comment, follow the links down below and have some fun. And Ray, I look forward to seeing you next week, man. It's always
absolutely fun. I always look forward to this.
Yeah, man. And when we're done, man, I'll give you a shout on the phone so we can recap. Love you, Phoenix. Ray, love you guys.
Love you too, man.
Love everyone. Thank you. We're out. Where's that button? There's that magical button in 3, 2, fun. Bye, Barry White style.